Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Here is Bobby Valentine, former MLB player and manager, and now the athletic director at beautiful Sacred Heart University. Bobby, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
You got all that right. I'm great. Thank you.
How you guys doing? We're almost perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you. So,
you know, if I were you, I would still be happy to see the Red Sox lose in the postseason. I got to be honest with you because I'm a grudge holder. I don't like stuff that happened. I felt like you were scapegoated horribly that one season that you were there. And I think it's a really difficult job to manage in Boston. Do you have those negative feelings that you probably shouldn't have towards that organization?
Well, I was happy to see the Yankees win. I can tell you that, you know, and I'm hoping it's a Yankee Dodger World Series. But I don't really do the grudge thing very much, and I don't like to see people do poorly and think that that reflects good on me. So, no, I wasn't really happy to see them lose, but I was surprised to see them win the American League East and change the manager. So I guess you could do a good job and you could do a bad job and still get fired up there.
Yeah. What is up with that? John Farrell, he's the scapegoat, and apparently his message wasn't resonating with, I guess, the main leader now that Big Poppy is done, is Pedroia. So from your 30,000-foot perspective, what did you see happening?
Gosh, it just must be that There's a culture there that needs to be corrected somehow. I guess there's an anti-authority feeling somewhere in the clubhouse, or maybe he just said or did the wrong thing. I'm not sure. I didn't follow it closely enough, so I'm really not an expert there.
Well, Bobby, let me ask you this, because you've done a ton of managing and you were a player. What is the job of the manager, other than in those crucial moments to, you know, possibly get a feel for your pitcher and bring someone in from the pen? And there are little idiosyncrasies we may not be privy to, but you are, as a former player and a manager. So what is the overarching job of the manager?
Well, I think it's to put people in the right position so that they can do well, and then to make sure they're prepared when they're in that position to have success. But, you know, players are weird. A lot of players dislike their manager, and it just happens that way. You find it in winning situations, and you find it in losing situations. And sometimes when you get a sympathetic ear at the wrong time, and that ear happens to be someone who is in a high authority, they change positions. They fire people.
Gio and Jones with Bobby Valentine. Joe Girardi was in a real tough spot after that Friday night game without challenging what was clearly a call that would have gone in the Yankees' favor. The Yankees went out and won three straight and saved his butt. What did you think of his decision-making in that game, and then also the rumors that he could be fired just based on what happened in that one baseball game?
I was appalled by that whole situation. It seems to me that, you know, and I never really managed in this replay era, but it seems that it's somebody else's job to look at the replay and tell the manager whether or not he should challenge. If the guy in the dugout just was challenging haphazardly every time he thought that what he saw wasn't right, or what somebody on the field thought wasn't right, you'd use up your challenges in the first inning. But, you know, that was a very weird situation. And I'm glad there were a couple of guys, and a couple of the guys, I think, on the team there who seemed to be new guys, but they were bold guys, stepped forward and, you know, got Joe's back, and I was really happy to see that.
Yeah, Todd Frazier was one of those guys, and that's what you do as a player. You pick up your pitcher and vice versa. The pitcher picks up the position players and the fielders, I should say, and when something doesn't go their way. What are your thoughts?
Sometimes they do that,
yeah,
right?
Sometimes,
they just point the finger, and that's the easy thing.
Right, yeah. Yeah, do unto others before they do unto you. what were your thoughts when they implemented replay, and do you think it goes far enough or it's too invasive?
I think it takes too long, but I think it's the right idea. We want the game to be played fairly. We want the right call to be made. That way, you know, you have justice on the field and you don't have a situation where the wrong team wins or the wrong player wins the battle. But it just takes too long. It shouldn't take that headphone set, cloak and dagger situation. What are they listening to that I'm not privy to? I think it should be, you know, done in 15 seconds. It's not that hard. You see it, you relay it, and you replay it, you relay it, and you call it. It shouldn't take more than 30 seconds.
Gio and Jones with Bobby Valentine. Why do you think the Nationals are stuck in the NLDS and can never get out?
Whew. Because, you know, they get a guy picked off at the wrong time, or they, you know, run to the wrong base or throw to the wrong base. They just, you know, have those brain cramps. You know, that game last night was theirs to take away, you know, a catcher who picks people off picked a guy off, and everyone seemed surprised. It was one of those things that proper preparation prevents piss poor performance, and that was a pretty piss poor performance because they weren't properly prepared.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, is that a lot on the manager in your mind, or is that fall in the laps of the players? Bobby?
That every player was told. And they knew because they play against each other during the season that, you know, Contreras picks behind runners. I think everyone knew that. I'll be willing to bet that Davey Lopes, a great player and great coach who was coaching first base, told Lebertom when he got there, hey, dude, this guy likes to throw. Be careful. And it just didn't work out.
And obviously, they weren't watching game two of the ALDS when Ronald Torres of the Yankees was picked off there at second. Where are you going? Do you instruct? As you just mentioned, Davey Lopes probably said something to his base runner prior to him going out there. Is that normal? Is that something you always get in their ear when you've got a guy who's been sitting that long, now he's inserted into the ball game, crucial moment, you get in his ear and tell him to watch for this, watch for that?
I think you do. I think when he got down in first base, I'll bet dollars to donuts that, you know, he was told, you know, be alive, great hit, way to go, we're going to win this game, and you know, he picks behind, so be careful.
Bobby, when you take a look at what the next series and the Yankees and the Astros and this Yankees team that everybody is saying they're ahead of schedule and they're the baby bombers and they're not supposed to be here yet, well, after dispatching of the Cleveland Indians, they look like they belong and can beat anybody. Is there anything about the greenness of this team that is still a part of this conversation, or is that in the past now because they're as prepared as anybody for this journey?
Well, obviously, if they lose, it's because they were inexperienced, and if they win, it's because they matured quickly. But I still think that a lot of their guys have a lot to learn, and the good news is Houston's in the same boat. You're seeing as much talent in this series, I think, as much young talent for sure as any two teams have possessed in a league championship series, and I'm really excited about the opportunity to watch them play.
Bobby, help me fix my man Aaron Judge. He had a great start to the season, of course, after the All-Star game. Decline in his play, and then he picked it up again back in September. Only one hit in the ALDS. I think he needs to scoot a little closer to the plate. What say you?
Wow, I like that. I think maybe he's just closing his eyes a little too soon before he lunges, you know. That's what Mickey Mantle used to say when he was in a slump, you know, that he was closing his eyes right before he lunged. But, no, Aaron Judge, I think, is spectacular. I love his swing. There was an approach situation, I thought, that last series, and everyone's a genius looking at it on TV, obviously. But, you know, when he can hit the inside fastball like he did for the double off the wall and it's 99 miles an hour, there's something wrong with his approach. He shouldn't be able to do that. If he does, that means the outside of the plate is going to be too wide open. He's got to hit that kind of inside fastball to right center field like he does when he's going good. And when he's able to do that, he's able to hit the breaking ball away. I think he'd hit the breaking ball. I just think he has to bring it back further toward the catcher and hit the ball at the angle, that outside pitch with his bat at an angle that drives the ball to right field. Not he's not a pull hitter. He's a right center to left center field hitter.
Yeah, and they've got they're facing Dallas Keuchel, who is on the Yankees and many other teams in Major League Baseball. When you've got a guy whose fastball may reach 91, 92 on a good day, but he's got all these off-speed stuff, what do you sit on when you're facing a guy like that?
Well, again, I think it's more the approach personally than that's my personal thoughts than it is what you're actually looking for. And the approach is that you want to drive the ball to right center field. And if you're thinking about driving the ball to right center field, the bat won't get so far out in front. And, you know, it's all about angles, and they talk about launch angles. It's also directional angles, you know. If the head of the bat's behind your hands when you make contact with the ball, the ball's going to go to the opposite field. If you're trying to get the head of the bat out in front of your hands when you hit the ball, that means you're going to be pulling it, and you don't want to try to pull the ball against a guy like Keuchel who's going to be, you know, doing that backdoor breaking ball and those change-ups and two-seamers away.
Bobby, I have to ask you about the Mets because their managerial job is open once again, and two of your former players are rumored to be candidates in Joe McEwing and Robin Ventura. Who do you think is the right fit to be the next manager of the Mets?
Well, I love those guys personally, and I'd love to see either one of them be the manager if that's what they wanted to do. But it seems like the right fit is Brad Ausmus, and I think he's going to get that job.
And why is that? Because it didn't seem like there was a lot of positive vibes coming out of that Tigers team towards the, you know, last couple months of the season. From my view, an outsider's perspective, it didn't seem like it was a good job that was happening there at the hands of Ausmus.
Well, that's what it seemed like to me too. But I don't think that's going to be part of the job description.
Doing a good job in your previous one?
or not job description necessarily. I think it's, you know, that there's a little kinship there, you know. He's, I think, the right age. I think he has the right amount of experience. I think, you know, he and Sandy Alderson both went to Dartmouth, and there's always a kinship there. And, you know, he embraces the analytical side of the game. So it seems to me that, not that if I was hiring, I'm not saying that's what I would do, but it seems to me that he's in the right place at the right time.
Ugh. All right.
It just seems to me.
I understand what you're saying.
Before, guys, so I could be wrong.
I think Bobby Valentine should come out of retirement.
Me too. That'd be awesome.
Come on.
I would love that.
What's up?
Would you still manage if someone called you?
I don't think that's the job for me at this time. I'm trying to clean up my life, not mess it up.
I love that. That's how people look at the Mets managerial job now. You know, it's like I don't want to mess up my life by going there.
Right. You know? So who do you like? Cubs, Dodgers, Astros, Yankees?
Yeah, you know, it it seems like, you know, the Astros are destined, you know, with all that great young talent and having the tragedy down there and, you know, Houston strong and all that. But I'd really like to see the, I think I already mentioned the Yankees and the Dodgers. I think that'd be great for my viewing capacities. But if I had to just, if I had to pick, I think I would pick Houston, and I'd pick the Cubs because they, you know, they both have a little magic going right now, and that magic is hard to hold up.
Bobby, every time we have you on, I feel bad because we don't talk about Sacred Heart enough. So what's happening up there? I want you to get a nice plug in. Your beautiful university, you're the athletic director at Sacred Heart. Tell us what the latest is.
Wow, that's kind of you doing that. Thanks, Greg. Well, you know, we played Dartmouth on Saturday in football. Our volleyball, women's volleyball team's great. Our cross country and track teams are doing great. We have 32 Division I sports teams, you know, and over 800 Division I athletes. So I can't talk about all of them. We're opening up a new diner on campus, new dorms on campus, and we're building a 60,000 square foot Bobby Valentine Rec Center on campus where I'll have my name there for a long time. So I kind of like what's going on at Sacred Heart University. We're the second largest Catholic university in New England and the 10th largest or fastest growing mid-major in the country, so we're doing okay.
Tell me more about this new dining hall. Can a brother get some fried pork chops?
Yeah. I think we might at the diner. You might be able. It's like a Jersey-style diner named after named for our president, who is from New Jersey, John Petillo, who also is at Seton Hall University, and it's just going to be a cool 24/7 diner right in the middle of campus.
I always say, if you can get your name on something before you're dead, you know you're the man.
There you go.
So, right. Bobby, you're the man. All right? Thanks for the time, as always. All right?
Thank you, guys. Right, have a great day.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.